stand together tonight, and let's turn to Acts 13. We're going to read beginning in verse number 1. And if you were to have a missions class, missions 101, this would be the text right here, because this is the cradle of New Testament missions, the Church of Antioch. And we are going to look at this passage tonight as we try to understand how we can have a part in the Great Commission. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of studying your word. I pray that you would bless this Bible study for everyone here, Lord. I pray that our teenagers tonight would catch a vision for worldwide missions. And Father, that that they would have a heart to understand the great cause that we're a part of. Help us, each and every one, to be committed in our prayers, in our finances, and in every way to the work that you've called us to do. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Not a Christian that you will ever meet doubts the fact that Jesus has commissioned his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Everyone says that's common knowledge, and yet very few Christians and even fewer churches are really involved in completing the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about something tonight. I want you to think about the fact that when God saved you, he entrusted you with the treasure of the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." I want you to read that phrase with me right there at the beginning, 1 Thessalonians 2, 4, ready to begin. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." Now just think about that phrase, "as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." Now, you can think of many things that someone might entrust you with. They might entrust you with their brand new car. And they might say, "Here, you can drive this for 6 months." They might entrust you with some other possession that is of great value to them. But God, in his will, has entrusted you and me with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't ever get over that fact that he has given to you and to me the precious treasure of the gospel. I'm talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the knowledge of eternal life. So he has entrusted this to us. And Paul said that even as he was entrusted with it, he spoke out the truth of the word of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." And so God has entrusted us, and God has empowered us as a church to get the gospel out. Now, we're living in perilous times, and I think about our teenagers tonight and what they may face and what we may face even as Christians in the form of threats and in the form of difficulty if we believe and practice and preach the whole counsel of God. But the fact of the matter is that we are on the winning side and that God has given us the power to get the job done in the Word of God. Now, we're in football season right now, and a lot of times during football season, you'll watch a football player receive the football, and or you'll see a quarterback handing off the football. And unfortunately, what you see sometimes is you see the ball not grasped, and you see the fumble, and you see the turnover, and maybe your favorite team loses the game or whatever. And I want you to recognize tonight that even as a quarterback so carefully puts the ball in the hands of the fullback, God has carefully delivered unto us the truth. And the last thing Lancaster Baptist Church wants to do is fumble the truth that God has given to us. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What a great opportunity we have tonight to host this annual missions conference and to to take the ball of the gospel another yard forward. Now, how many of you know that the devil's got his linebackers ready to push? And how many of you know that he doesn't want the gospel progressing forward? But we're here tonight to get ready, and this is sort of our training camp, because we're getting ready in a few days to get out on the playing field and to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the missions conference is all about. And how can we do that? And I want you to notice, first of all, if we're going to do that, we must be included in the assembly of the local church. The Bible says, now there were in the church at Antioch. And I want you to see that this church was an autonomous church. If we have the idea that if we don't support missions, somebody else will, or some denomination will, we misunderstand the responsibility of getting the gospel out. It's not a responsibility that's been given to a parachurch group or to a denomination, but it was something delivered unto the local church as a safekeeping. And God has given to us in this assembly the privilege in this church of being a part of His program, the program of worldwide evangelization. Now, the word church in verse number one is, of course, that word, a called out assembly. So in Antioch, there were people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were an assembly that had been called out from the world unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of you are thankful tonight that you've been called out from the world? Amen? And that you're not in some bar tonight, you're not somewhere carousing tonight, but that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And teenagers, don't you ever get in the sense of having envy towards these kids at the mall or around walking around the street, running around in sin and rebellion and acting like all of that. Listen, don't you ever think that that's what it's all about. I'll tell you what life is about. It's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And be glad that you're in church tonight, and thank God that you have the privilege of being in this place. And so here we see this church was a called out assembly. They were saved, baptized people. And the founding of the church at Antioch was by people who had been scattered from the Jerusalem church when persecution took place regarding Stephen. How many of you remember Stephen was the first martyr of the church of Jerusalem? And after the martyrdom of Stephen, people began to spread out from Jerusalem, and a large contingency went to Antioch, and there they were, believers, and they came together, and they were included. Now let me just say, that's what believers do. And let me just fundamentally say tonight that as a part of Lancaster Baptist Church, you ought to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be here to meet these missionaries. I'm going to hear their testimony. I'm going to learn about where they're going. This is going to be the apparatus of our church. This is God's plan, sending forth missionaries. And so we come together as a church to get a hold of that concept. And what a privilege it is. Now, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 11, that in verse number 19, that they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So as church history is propelling, we see that from Jerusalem, saints begin to spread out, and they find their way to these different cities, and they come to Antioch, and they're gathering now together. And that's the way it ought to be. What a tragedy when people who call themselves Christians are not included in an assembly faithfully participating in the work of the Lord. And so thank God that we're here tonight. Barnabas had been sent by the church of Jerusalem, if you recall in your church history, to investigate the report about Gentiles getting saved at Antioch. So it was a congregation of Jews and Gentiles. In your notes, you may have Acts 11, 22, and I want you just to see that. It'll tie into something later in the Bible study. It says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, what does it say next, was what? Glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So the church at Jerusalem heard that over here in Antioch, some of the believers had gotten together, and there were even Gentiles that were getting saved. And they sent Barnabas to go investigate that. And Barnabas came back and he gave the report that people were getting saved at Antioch. And when they heard that, they were so glad to hear about people being saved. Now, thank God tonight that we have an opportunity as our missionaries come to hear about people that are getting saved in other places. And if you could liken our church, for just for the illustration, to Jerusalem, and folks have been sent out from this place, what a blessing to hear what God is doing as our missionaries come and report. So this was an autonomous church, the church at Antioch. And secondly, it was an accepting church. I want you to notice concerning this church, they were a church made up of all different kinds of people. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, "Separate unto me Barnabas." Barnabas is the surname of Joseph, or Joseph, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. And then we see another man mentioned here in the passage. We see that there's a man by the name of Niger, of Latin origin. And Niger was a teacher. And then we read about Lucius in verse number 1 of Cyrene. Cyrene is a city in northern Africa on the Mediterranean Sea. It would be modern-day Libya. So if you look on a map and you go north on the Mediterranean and inland, you find Antioch. But then you begin to realize there were people there that were from different places. And here's a man from northern Africa. There's another man, Menaean, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch. And he had either been raised or educated in the house of Herod, Jewish birth. He was a man that was a part of this particular assembly. And then there was Saul, Jewish birth, a former Pharisee before his salvation. And what you begin to see at Antioch is that this was not only an autonomous church, but this was an accepting church. This was a church that accepted people from all different backgrounds. And by the way, that's how heaven's going to be. People from all different backgrounds getting saved and coming in to the church there at Antioch. And the Bible says in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now I'm going to tell you something. No matter where you go in the world, if you gather together with God's people, and these are people that love the Lord, it ought to encourage your heart every single time. Dr. Sisk is here tonight. He's preaching over 80 countries. And I'm sure that he could testify that just hearing the name of Jesus in whatever language you're hearing it in always encourages your heart. And so it was that here in this assembly, we find that there were people in the assembly who are accepting and encouraging one another in the Lord. Now, if we're going to be a part of God's plan for missions, this is very, very simple. We've got to be included in the assembly. We've got to be a part of God's plan, which is the local New Testament church. And so we've established this. This is a church much like ours. It's a church that was a called out assembly. It was all kinds of people that had been saved, and they were gathered together. Now, that's step number one. How many of you would say, "Pastor, that's very basic. If we're going to be involved in missions, we got to be included in the assembly of the local New Testament church." And that is basic, but that's where it all began, and so that's where we're going to begin tonight. And what I want you to realize is God's plan from Acts 13 is going to be replicated at Lancaster Baptist Church in the next upcoming days, and it all starts, the cradle of missions is the local New Testament church, and we're in that cradle tonight, and so we have the privilege of seeing something happen by the grace of God, just like they did at Antioch. So they were included in the assembly. Now, let's further investigate, because it's not enough to sit, soak, and sour. It's not enough just to be in a church, but there's going to be a second step we want to study if we're going to see the advancement of missions. Now, step number one, you're here tonight, you're on board, and you're included in the assembly. Most of you are members of Lancaster Baptist Church, so that's awesome. But how many of you know there are churches that have big memberships and they're not getting much done, right? And listen, God is not impressed with the size of the congregation as much as the health of the congregation. You can have great size but not have great health, right? So being a part of a church is wonderful, and the church growing is wonderful, but you know what we're going to find out next week is, how's our health? How are we functioning as a church? So let's look at the second point. This was a church that was inclined to the voice of God. Would you say that phrase with me, please? They were inclined. That means when they came to church, they were wanting to hear from the Lord. That was the primary reason they were there. They wanted to hear from the Lord. Now look at that in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord. Would you say that with me, please? As they Now what we're going to see, letter A, is that this was a consecrated time. That is to say, this service was not about themselves. It was not their party. It was not their gig. It was not their club. But they were there together for the purpose of ministering to the Lord. Now, tonight, we heard instruments play. And we heard musicians sing. And we must always remember that this is done to the Lord. It is for the Lord. We worship the Lord. Now, were you edified like I was edified by the song? Absolutely. But our primary target in ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church is not the congregation. It's not the community. It's the Lord Himself. The Lord is the one that we gather to worship. And so they were there included in the assembly, but they were inclining themselves to the Lord. They were there ministering to the Lord. And it's interesting, the word ministering. They ministered to the Lord. It means to perform a work or to do a service for the Lord. Now, there are many false religions where people do a service for their false god. And we've all heard. And we hear about those who follow Islam and how they have been taught. That if they are to find themselves taking the lives of the infidels, that they'll be translated to heaven and have how many days of immorality or whatever the promise that's given to them. But that's what they believe about their God, and that's the service that some will do for their God. I remember growing up in Korea and hearing every morning at 4 o'clock the Buddhist monks as they banged on the gourds and as they did their chanting and their prayers in the early morning hours, and they were doing that to their God. By the way, how many of you are thankful tonight that you serve a God that hears and sees and loves and answers prayer, and so they're ministering to the Lord. Now, the modern day self-centered church sees very little action when it comes to the matter of missions. Because the modern day church is so concerned about self and so concerned about it's a matter of connections, it's a matter of just being somewhere, but it's not a matter of hearing from the Lord. I think of the Moravians back in the 1600s and how the Moravians were so inclined to God's ear that one out of three men became missionaries. And they began to spread all over the world, even into Central and South America, where you still find Moravian churches. They're very heavy in North Carolina. When did it all begin? In the 1600s, with people in European congregations just hearing the voice of God and launching out by faith. And I want to just simply say something, folks, that we ought to have a heart's desire. And teenagers tonight, listen, don't get the idea that, oh, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if God called you to missions or if God called you into the ministry. Listen, don't do it if it's not God's will. But I want you just to realize there's only one agenda at Lancaster Baptist Church. And it's for every mom and every dad and every teenager tonight. And here's the agenda, all right? The agenda is simply this. Listen to God. How many of you parents want your kids to listen to God? And teenagers ought to listen to God. And Bible college students ought to listen to God. And the fact of the matter is that they were in that position. Now, we haven't even got to missions yet. And stay with me. All we've done so far is get to church, and now we're in church listening to God. That's where it all begins, though, because if we're not in church listening to God, then how's God ever going to call a missionary? And how's God ever going to change lives? And I've got to tell you something. Missions is not just like for Dr. Sisk, who's now past 60 years of age. It's not just for that generation. Missions is for every generation. But first, we must listen to God. I'm thankful tonight that Dr. Sisk listened to God when he was in Kentucky and that he went to Japan. I'm thankful that Adam Young listened to God and went to Russia. I'm thankful that Dr. Jack Baskin went to Korea and led Dr. Daniel Kim to Christ. And the stories go on and on and on. But you know what missions conference is about? Lord, we want to hear you again. What are you saying in 2014? Because my God is not dead and he still speaks. And he still wants to move on the hearts of congregations like ours today. And so here we see that they were in this consecrated moment of ministering to the Lord. Hey, choir, when you stand up and sing Sunday morning, let's sing for the Lord. And let's do it all to the glory of God. Let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God will never ask the world to do his work. God is going to ask his children to do his work. I don't know why, but my dad never one time asked the neighbor boy to take out my garbage. He always thought I was supposed to take out our garbage. And God the Father is not going to ask the heathen to do his work. And if we will not do the work of our Father, who will do the work of our Father? But so we've got to listen to what he's saying. It's a consecrated time. So they're ministering to the Lord, and it's a committed time. They're very committed. Now notice this, church, in verse 2. They ministered to the Lord, and notice, and they fasted. They fasted. Fasting is the denying of self. Fasting is bringing our prayers to the fullest heights to the Lord. Fasting is saying nothing matters more than hearing from God. I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't had times in your life where you had to hear from God, where you had to have a miracle from God, there will come those times in your life. There will come times in your life when nothing matters more than having God's power, and nothing matters more than hearing God's voice, and nothing matters more than knowing God's direction. Now, I will tell you tonight as your pastor that I am living out as much faith, by faith tonight, in every endeavor. Lancaster Baptist Church, Lancaster Baptist Sunday School, Lancaster Baptist Bus Ministry, Lancaster Baptist School, West Coast Baptist College, Worldwide Missions, Building Program, you name it. In every area I'm living out right now, by more faith now than when I came to Lancaster Baptist Church. And I got to tell you something, folks, it's exciting. But I want you to know, because of that faith, there's times when you just have to pray and fast and say, Lord, I'm living by faith, but I've got to have your help. I've got to have your wisdom. I've got to have your provision. I want to have your presence in my life more than anything. And Jesus said, this kind, these special times in our lives come about only by prayer and by fasting. And does anybody realize tonight that the world needs the gospel? Does anybody realize that America needs revival? I mean, is there anybody tonight that realizes that America is in desperate need of revival when a lesbian judge will call upon the pastors and say, deliver your sermon notes or go to prison? I'm just telling you, folks, America is changing, and we better come to church and we better hear from God again. We better get a hold of God in this hour. Adoniram Judson, the great Baptist missionary, said the motto of every missionary, whether preacher, printer, or schoolmaster, ought to be this: devoted for life. Devoted for life. And oh, whatever talent you have, devote it to Jesus for life. Do what God would have you to do with your life. Spurgeon said, if there be any one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at a white heat, it is concerning missions. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. And I'm thinking tonight of some of the fields that will be represented. I'm thinking tonight of the field of China. And I don't know exactly why, but there's just a stirring happening in China right now. There's an opening happening right now in China. And I'm telling you, there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of people who've not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And suddenly, that country, which is dependent upon America's trade, I might add, is starting to open up. Just this next summer, there will be 200 Chinese pastors that are going to be flown over to Brother Scott Wendell's church in Pennsylvania to learn Bible theology. Who would have ever thought? More and more interest is coming towards West Coast Baptist College from China. Who would have ever thought? And now the opportunity to come to that land and teach and preach. It's not wide open, but hey, there's a crack door open there, and there's going to be some people here next week saying, we're willing to go, and we're willing to go to this continent and that continent and this place. And I'm just saying, it's a wonderful thing to see what God is doing in mission. And so they were committed to it, and they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted. The year was in the 1700s. The place was India. The missionary was William Carey. He was a shoe repairman. But on his world map, in his office area where he worked, he had a picture of India, and he saw India on the map, and he began to feel like God was burdening him and then calling him to India. William Carey went to India for 42 years, and there he translated the Bible into 25 different languages. And let me just simply say, don't ever think that serving God is some boring thing. I'm telling you, there are some young couples tonight. I met with a single young lady just today in my office, Susanna Sierra Montero. I imagine she's about 22 years old, and she's on her way to Indonesia to serve God, and she's excited about it. And I'm just telling you, it's exciting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see William Carey. He was there for 42 years in India. Listen to this. He translated the Bible into 25 different languages. Did you know that many countries in the world have a dictionary because of a missionary? Did you know that Adoniram Judson went to Burma and that the very same dictionary they use in Burma tonight was written by Adoniram Judson? Listen, you don't take a backseat academically, educationally, or spiritually to be a missionary. You're right on the cutting edge when you serve God, you see. William Carey, 25 different languages he translated the Bible into. He became the father of modern missions. What was the secret of William Carey's life? Many have asked. William Carey had a bedridden, crippled sister. She lived in England. Every morning she woke up, and every morning she began to pray for her brother. She asked God to bless him in translation and in preaching and in soul winning. And then she'd write a letter to her brother and encourage her brother. And I'm just simply telling you, many of us may not go and be a missionary, but we can sure pray for our missionaries. And we can fast and ask God, and we can get behind them and get their missionary card and take an interest in them. How many of you know that life can be lonely from time to time? And I'll tell you, a lonely time for missionaries is being on this thing called deputation, going from place to place to place. I asked Susanna today, is Susanna here tonight? Susanna, are you in here? She go to another church. You in here, Susanna? She probably went to another church. I said, Susanna, how's it? She's standing up. Where are you? Well, stand up, young lady. If I'm asking for you, don't sit there. And there she is right there. How old are you, Susanna? 22? 23. You're getting old. Man, 23. Wow. So here's Susanna. How many of you know it takes some faith to be a single young lady and launch out to Indonesia? By the way, if this young lady, come up here, Susanna, for just a moment, please. I want to use that as an illustration here. If this young lady will go to a 99% Muslim country to preach about Jesus Christ, I think we ought to come to the missions conference. Hello? And Susanna, I said, how's it going? She said, well, it's going pretty good. I said, are you getting up early and calling, making calls? And she said, I am. I said, Mrs. Fursel is going to give you some more pastors to call. Step up at least one step, please. There you go. And I said, how's the support? And this is what she said. Well, I'm at 9%. 9%. Now, Brother Bishop said amen, because that's a good thing to say. But 9% is exactly 91% from the goal, right? And Susanna's going to go from church to church. And she's a single missionary, and she's a young lady. And so she's maybe going to feel like, man, I'm not a married couple. I'm not going to do this or do that. But you know what? God's called her. And she's going to stand up and say her name, and I'm going to go to Indonesia, and I'm going to be a soul winner and teach music and do the other things she's going to do. But I'm just trying to illustrate, to me, the faith that Susanna must have to do that. How many young ladies have even come through West Coast, and they didn't land some big old guy, and so they just go back to Montana and work at Burger King? This young lady knew that God wanted her in the ministry. And just because the guys were too stupid to date her and marry her, and that'll happen in God's time, Susanna. But she's saying, I'm not waiting for some dummy. I'm going to go serve God. How many of you are thankful for that? And I'm just saying, it takes faith. Thanks, Susanna, for helping me with the sermon there tonight. You can be seated, Susanna. Listen, the prayers of God's people, she needs our prayers. That's what I'm trying to say. She is stepping out by faith, going from church to church. She's at 9%. Folks, 9% doesn't pay the gas to the next meeting. She's at 9%. By the way, after she's here at Lancaster Baptist, let's pray that goes up significantly. Amen? And that's what it's all about. And just praying for the missionaries. So it was a consecrated time. It was a committed time, the Bible says, that they were ministering to the Lord. They were fasting. And then it was a communicated time. Look at verse 2. It says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So here we see that it says, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake. Now, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to them. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit of God, when He sees a church ministering to Him, and when He sees a church that is truly fasting and desiring Him, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to that church. Amen. Now, excuse me, the Holy Spirit's not going to speak to the church that's not listening for Him. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to that kind of a church. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear me and open the door, I will come in. And perhaps you've read that scripture before. Did you know that's not written to an unsaved person? That's written to the church of Laodicea. And Jesus is outside the door of the church. And Jesus is outside the door of the church knocking on the door. And he's wanting to come in. And he's saying, if anyone will let me come in, I'll come in. And you read it in Revelation 3. Jesus is outside wanting to come into the church. And Jesus is saying, is anyone there? I'm knocking on the door. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. And Jesus said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Isn't that a sad thought of Jesus being on the outside of his own church? And so here we see he's not going to respond if we're not inclined to listen. We've got to have a heart to listen to the Lord. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake. Now, don't get spooked out by that. Did you know the Holy Ghost still speaks today? I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about the fact that when we fill out these cards later next week, let's do what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. But if we're not here, if we're not inclining our ear, if we're not praying about this, if we're not praying for the missionaries, it's unlikely that we're going to sense the leading of the Lord in that matter. And so this church was communicating with the Lord. Andrew Murray said, there's a great need for revival of spiritual life, of truly fervent devotion to our Lord, of entire consecration in His service. It is only in a church in which the spirit of revival has at least begun that there is any hope of radical change. A friend of mine at their missions conference calls it the missions revival. That's what they call it. Not the missions conference, the missions revival. And I truly believe the missions conference can be the missions revival if we are listening to the Lord and waiting on the Lord and the Lord begins to speak. Revival can happen in a missions conference. It surely, surely can. And so the Bible says that in verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And here we see, because they were included in the assembly, and because they inclined their voice to God's ear, they began to hear the Lord speak. Now, teenagers, in chapel next week, and elementary children, when the missionaries come, listen to what they have to say. Hear them talk about Africa. Hear them talk about the path that they cross. Hear them talk about the field where they serve. And listen to what it's like. And learn how to pray for them. And ask God to help them. And get behind them. And say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a part of this matter of worldwide missions. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the midst of building the largest building ever built on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. Every day of my life, throughout the day, I'm in prayer and asking God to provide. Throughout my life, these last several weeks and months, just sharing the need and encouraging others about it and praying and praying and praying. But I'm convinced of this, that there is a law of sowing and reaping. And did you know that in the midst of needing a large amount of money to finish this large, large building, do you know what we're going to stop and do next week? We're going to stop and we're going to dedicate a large amount of money to worldwide missions. And we're going to take on many, many new missionaries like Susanna and get behind them to the glory of God. You know why? Because there's a law of sowing and reaping. And I believe if we sow into the fields that God's going to take care of this project. I've seen Him do that too many times. But we can't think that it just happens automatically. We've got to come together and listen and hear the voice of God. And so they were included in the assembly and they were inclined to hear what God had to say. And I just want to ask you tonight, church family, be listening for the Lord. Be inclined. Don't have a hard heart, but have a tender heart. And just as the testimonies are given and as the preaching is given, and my, do we have some special guests coming in and even some that are not on the program. What a special week we're going to have this week, folks. And especially just thinking of all of our missionaries and some of the ones at the last minute that were able to come. And I just want you to listen as they preach and teach to us that God would speak. Now, they were included in the assembly. Then they weren't just doing church, but they were listening to God and they were worshiping God and God began to speak to them. How many of you get the idea this was not the average Baptist service we're talking about? This was a service where they were worshiping God. They were fasting, they wanted to hear from God, and the Holy Ghost spoke. And the Holy Ghost began to give direction. You know where missions began? Not in a boardroom. It began in the church house. And it didn't begin with some general board of directors. It began with the Holy Ghost speaking, and God began to move. Oh, wouldn't it be something if a great next wave of missions came from Lancaster Baptist Church? that God moved on our hearts to pray and give and send missionaries all around the world. What a blessing that would be. And today, just this day, I've had emails from New Zealand and from China and also from the Philippines. Just this day, people that are doing the work of God overseas. And I'm telling you, there's still some great harvest to be seen in this day in which we live. Well, let's notice the final thought. Not only were they included and inclined, but notice thirdly, they were involved in God's plan. Some of you might say, all right, I'm here, and I think I'm listening for the Lord to speak. And so what's it going to be like when God starts speaking? What is it like when the work of God starts happening? Well, look in verse 3 again. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. All right? Now, this is a very simple passage, but let's just read this. Verse number 3, ready, begin. And when they had fasted and prayed... So how did they get involved? All right. First of all, if you're taking notes, they got involved with intercession. They fasted and prayed. It was always preceded and followed by prayer. They just bathed the whole service, the whole process in prayer. Our missionaries have what's called prayer cards. And we're going to have seasons of prayer leading up to this a revival conference in our homes and in our classes, praying and asking God to bless our missionaries. They fasted and they prayed. And then it says they laid hands on them. Now, Brother Adam Young is here tonight. Brother Adam was up here praying a minute ago. And I remember when Brother Adam went over to Russia and we laid hands on Brother Adam and we had a service, a sending away service. And we have many that have been sent right here from Lancaster Baptist Church. And Brother Adam testified that the Holy Ghost had called him to Russia. And the church watched the gifts and the calling. And we saw the Lord working in his life. And so we prayed for him before and during and after the process. And so it was that with much intercession that the Youngs went not just over to Eastern Europe. I mean, they're in Samara. I don't even exactly know where it is. I mean, it's way over by the Black Sea. And it's a long ways away. How many of you understand? God had to call him there, amen? It's a place that I'd never heard of, and Adam felt like that's where God wanted him to go. But how did it happen? It happened through prayer, and it happened through hearing the voice of God, and it happened with much intercession. But then I want you to notice, secondly, it happened with much interest, with much interest. Now notice in verse 3 it says, and they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. Notice this. They sent them away. Let's say that together. They sent them away. Now, let me just say this. Again, I want our teenagers to hear this. Paul and Barnabas weren't the flunkies of the church. They sent two of their best. Two of their very best. Don't ever get the idea that if nothing else works out, you'll serve God. Okay? Because when they sent them away, they recognize, boy, these are some of our faithful ones here. And God, the Holy Ghost has called them, and so they sent them away. So now, have you ever heard the term a sending church? Have you heard that term? Where'd it come from? Right here. Because Antioch was the sending church for the very first missionaries. Isn't that exciting? I mean, we're just studying Missions 101. How did it all happen? Well, they were included at church. Everybody got to church. That's the first step to a great missions conference. Let's get here. You say, well, my kids might not make a good grade. Just get them here. There's something. Listen, get them to the house of God. They'll make a good grade. You say, but I've got to play my bowling league. Your bowling league can last on Tuesday night without you. But you got to be included if something great's going to happen. So they were included. And then they were inclined when they got there. Okay, Lord, we're listening. And we want to know how to be a part of this. And we want to know what you want from our church and how we can be involved. And then they got involved. And they got involved by praying. And then it says they sent them away. Now, why send them away? Because others will only hear if someone goes and tells them. Others will only hear if someone goes and tells them. I think about the auditorium I preached at a few weeks ago in China. I think there might have been 100, 150 people in there. And here were people, so many of them came up to me through an interpreter and said, thank you for sending the missionary. We know Jesus because you sent the missionary. We're going to heaven because you sent the missionary. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, I'm glad they told you that. Now, listen very carefully. I believe people are going to tell you that for all of eternity in heaven. Thank you for sending the missionary. Thank you for having someone come to tell me about Jesus. Oh, what a blessing tonight. What a blessing to think of our young people and young people in this Bible college that are heading now to various countries, from Syria to the Philippines to Canada to Mexico to Brazil. And God is moving. Some of you are unaware, but there's been a prayer movement already preceding this conference. And people are praying that God's Spirit would speak and that God would do a great work. And so the Bible says they sent them away. And they did that because people need to know the gospel message. I think of the city of Los Angeles, 3.2 million people in the city, two independent Baptist churches. Maybe that someone knows of another one. I hope you do. I hope I'm wrong. But wouldn't that be something if there were three for 3 million people? One of the greatest mission fields on planet Earth is just over the hill from us. People need the Lord everywhere. Everywhere. And may God stir our hearts for our Jerusalem, Lancaster, and Palmdale. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. See? See, how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? And I don't believe the word sent means that they just said, okay, see you later. I believe they got involved with it, don't you? I mean, if Brother Young came and said, I think God's calling me to Russia, and I just said, okay, see ya. Listen, when God's moving, don't you want to be a part of that? When God's involved and something's happening and the Lord's at work, the heart of the church ought to be, listen, let's get involved in what God is doing. There's a couple ways we can do that. We've already mentioned one of them, but first of all, we can have an interest in this missionary movement with our prayers and supplication. Our supplication. Just seeing what they did here, they fasted and they prayed. Every week we pass out the prayer sheet for our missionaries. The missionaries have their prayer cards. We do not post our missionaries on the internet because several of them are in countries like Laos, Vietnam, China, different places that would be perhaps very difficult for them if it was known that they were there. But we post their material in the lobbies and we put their names on the prayer pages and we want to remember them in our prayer. We are blessed that in our church, every Sunday school class next week will have their own missionary come to their class. And all the elementary chapel and high school chapel and some of you that don't have the kids here in the school this year, bring your kids into chapel. Let them get around the missionaries. Go to their areas and talk to the missionaries and get their prayer cards and just have your children get around God's people and have them thinking about others and the needs all around the world. There was a time during the Iranian hostage crisis where a missionary was asked to give a missionary minute at a large church on the East Coast. He only had 1 minute to speak, so he decided to ask two questions. He stood up at the pulpit. He said, how many of you are praying for the 52 American hostages in Iran? Everybody's hand went up. Several thousand hands were raised. He said, praise the Lord. He said, now as your hands are down, how many of you are praying for the 42 million Iranians being held hostage to Islam? Not one hand went up. Sometimes if we're not careful, we see things as, oh, that's those nations with Ebola. Oh, that's the nations with Islam. Oh, that's the nation with this problem or that problem. But did you know how God sees all of them? People with an eternity. One of the things that happens at missions conference is we remember everybody matters to God. He didn't die just for Americans on the cross. He died for everybody to know and to understand his love. And so by supplication, we can get involved and interested. And then secondly, by supply, by making a way possible that they might be able to go. Now, as we close, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, to a familiar passage. Philippians chapter 4. Sometimes repetition is the key to learning. And sometimes we can get involved in something and then back away a bit. And as we approach this week, and Sunday morning, Dr. Lou Baldwin will preach, a great, great preacher. Their church has started 34 other churches. Just think of that. And as we begin to hear these speakers and meet these missionaries, We want the Lord to be working ahead of this. We want to be praying ahead of it. Did you notice that before the Holy Ghost spake, they were praying before he spoke? And we want to be in prayer. And then we want to understand it biblically. So look at Philippians 4:17. Paul says to this church, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now look right up here for just a minute. How many of you understand Paul was the missionary that was supported by the church at Philippi? Amen? We understand that? Paul did not desire a gift. I know lots and lots and lots of missionaries, and I'm just here to tell you, missionaries are not here to get what they can get. The average missionary probably has about $5,000 or $6,000 a month support. With that money, they have to go to a foreign country, rent a house, buy a car where they're normally way more expensive. Housing may or may not be more expensive depending on the field. Then with that money, they have to do the work of the missionary. They buy songbooks, they print tracts, they rent a little room. Now just do the math, $5,000 or $6,000 a month to live on and do missionary work. Look, it's not that they desire a gift personally. They're not here to be a burden to us. They're here to be a blessing to us, because as we give to Brother Young and as souls are saved in Russia, that's fruit that abounds to our account. We're investing. By the way, how many of you would have liked to have bought stock the first day it was opportunity to buy stock in Apple? How many of you wish you could turn back the clock and do that? All right. Well, you know what I believe some of these brand new missionaries coming by? We're going to have the privilege to support them. I had a guy tell me the other day, he's a pastor probably about 68 years old, and he said, you know, Brother Chapel, he said, one of the biggest regrets I have is that when you went to Lancaster, we didn't start supporting you right away. Because he said, I would have liked to have had fruit abounding to my account. You know, I want to be a church that keeps on believing in these young missionaries. I don't want to analyze and say, well, I don't know if he can get it done. I want to get behind them. Now look what Paul said in verse 18. Philippians 4:18 says, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Notice this, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, you know, Epaphroditus brought me your offering before. He brought some things to me, and he says it was a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Always remember this, we're not giving to the missionaries, we're giving to God, right? And God's eyes, this offering was sweet. It was acceptable. But look at verse 19, folks, and let's read it together. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, I know sometimes we go through seasons that are tight financially, and we're tempted to curb and cut back and make a different game plan than we've had for a long time, maybe. But as I look at the card, I just want to remind you this next week, we're going to consider the tithe. The tithe is whose? I just personally cannot fathom not tithing. You ought to study Malachi 3 sometime. Not only do I feel like it's withholding from God what is His, but I feel like it's withholding blessings from our family and from our church if we don't do this. So consider the tithe. But what's the second thing you're going to see? Missions. The tithe is basic to the Christian life. But now we're thinking about missions. And I just want to encourage you right now, not with an amount, but just start praying about that. What does God want you to do in having a part with worldwide missions? And just pray that God would put that on your heart and that you would be able to see God use you in that way. And then, of course, the other things that are listed, which we'll talk about maybe next week. But I want you just to begin praying. Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's the thing you want to remember. My God will supply all of my need. You see, that was a promise to the church at Philippi. They were giving this sweet-smelling savor. They were sending the offering to the church, to the Apostle Paul's ministry. And they were giving. And Paul said, look, I want to remind you, God's going to take care of you. We often sing that song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wing of love abide. God will take care of you. Yes, He will. God will take care of you. I'm going to tell you something. If I did an exit poll tonight, a lot of you would say, oh, it's kind of tough. I'm paying off this bill from 1982. And I remember when I had surgery and had my ingrown toenail. And I'm paying for that one too. And I'm paying for the car that the engine blew up. And I'm paying for this. And everybody would have a story. And also everybody would say, but God's really been good to me. God's sure been good to me. Now, at missions conference, the devil wants you to think about every bad thing. But I want to challenge you to remember this. We serve a God who loves us and who provides for us so wonderfully. Alexander McLaren once said concerning missions, he said, "I'm going down into the pit. You hold the ropes. They that hold the ropes and the daring miner that swings away in the darkness are one in work, one in motive, and one in reward." You understand that? The miners of old, they would cinch up. One of them would go down into the deepest crevice of the mine to chip away for the gold. The other one simply would hold the ropes, but both of them would share in the reward. And ladies and gentlemen, there are 33 young families coming in to be with us in the next few days, and they're willing to go down into the hole. They're willing to go to the Muslim country. They're willing to go to the faraway land. They're willing to get down into that place. Our responsibility as a church is to hold those ropes. You know what I pray? I pray for Brother Young and all of these missionaries. Brother Young, when's the last time you were here? 4 years ago? On furlough, about 4 years ago. You know what I pray, Brother Young? That when you come back 4 years from now, we'll still be holding the ropes. That we'll still be faithfully singing the same songs, preaching the same message, taking the same stand. That you'll be able to look around and see the same members in their place 4 years from now. Because it's not this thing where we hope the missionaries are really faithful. Hey, if they're going to go down into the cave, how about if we hold the ropes? How about if we do our part? You see, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so William Carey said it this way. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. How does this missions thing work? What's it really all about? Just remember tonight. First, they were included in the assembly. That's step one. Hey, Sunday school teacher, get your whole class to church this week. Whatever the age might be, let's be included in the assembly. Secondly, they inclined their ear to the Lord. They said, "Lord, what is it you want to say to me this year? What is it you want to say to me tonight? Lord, I want to hear what you have to say." And then finally, they were involved in God's plan. They prayed, and then they sent them away. Now, I have an imaginative mind, I know, but I can just see some of the widows in the church as the Apostle Paul was walking out. I can envision him in some kind of a robed gown, and I can envision someone coming up and saying, "Here you go. I made these chocolate chip cookies just for your journey over there on the way to Lystra. You nibble on one. Here you go. Put it right in there." I can envision someone coming and saying, "Here you go. Here's some Roman coins for you. I got a sack full of them here. If you need to stay somewhere for lodging, I want you to have this." I can envision someone else saying, I've got a friend that lives over there in the next city there. And when you get to Derby, here's a certificate. His name is Bill Marriott. Just tell him I sent you, and you can stay right there. That's where you can stay. I don't know how it worked, but it says they sent them away. And I just believe they didn't just send them away with a kick in the britches. I think they helped them on their way. Folks, I just want our missionaries, when they come through here, just to get some fresh air in their sails and just to be encouraged that we sent them along the way. And let's be that missionary-minded church. Let's be that others-minded church to the glory of God. It all began in a church, and it's going to continue as churches like ours are faithful in these upcoming days. Folks, let's be in prayer. Let's be getting our hearts ready. Let's be asking God to work. And I believe if we'll have that spirit, the Holy Ghost will speak once again, and He'll do a great